Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for this Palm Sunday, this celebration, as we remember the time when Jesus entered the gates and people were shouting and cheering and happy to see him. Help us to make sense of today and the days ahead. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you are basketball fans? Anybody? Very few. What happens in March for college basketball? March Madness, right. If you follow particular teams, or if you went to a college that is a big college basketball place, March Madness, you cannot help but be excited about it and get to following them. There's nothing more than trying to follow your team. Some people get into like the bracket things, and there's all the playoffs, and then there's all the games of elimination and surprise and upsets, and then they get down to the final four, and then you get down to the finals, and then pretty soon, with all that drama, with all that hype, with all that excitement, they crown the champion. And for a brief moment, there's this glow, there's this glorification of this team, crown the champion. But then, how quickly it comes and goes. How quickly we forget about it, and how instantly the excitement all of a sudden fades away. But during that period of time, we're so into it. We're so focused on it, on board, invested, interested. On Palm Sunday, there was this madness that was going on, and kind of spontaneous. Crowds started to gather. People were cutting off branches. They were shouting Hosanna. All the people came out of the woodwork saying, "What is going on?" People were lining up and putting their coats on the side of the path as Jesus was passing by. Verse 10 says that when he entered Jerusalem, there was turmoil. They were saying, "Who is this?" Now, there is a Greek word that is interpreted as turmoil, and the Greek word is asesthē, and the root word is seo. Seo means to shake. It means to agitate. It means to cause to tremble, to quake, to throw into a tremor. That Greek word appears a few times in the New Testament, and in one place that it appears in particular is when Jesus was crucified, and in the temple, the veil was split down the middle, and the earth quaked. It's that same word that was used. But also in Hebrews chapter 12, God shakes the earth, God shakes the heavens. The same word is used. So what it refers to is this cosmic created order that is experiencing this shaking, like this earthquake, and we know how scary that can be. So then the concept is that this whole triumphal entry into Jerusalem by Jesus is an earth-shattering event. It is a quaking. It is cosmic. It shakes the foundations of what we know. It shakes our faith. It shakes us up spiritually. That's what it's meant to do and meant to be. So as Jesus is riding the colt or the donkey going into Jerusalem, there's this quaking going on. The whole city is in upheaval. But Jesus in his mind must have thought, this is a passing phase for them. This is a very momentary, small tremor in their minds, because tomorrow they're going to forget about it. Tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, it almost doesn't matter. And the celebration of that day will come and go. Jesus will really see what happens when the real shaking, the violent testing happens. He will see how the people react. And that day of joy and happiness and jubilation and celebration will turn, that whole madness will turn into sadness. Now, understandably, Jesus is going through a lot of emotions himself, mostly because he knows that he has 1 week to live. Pastor Whitney Rice invites us to think about this question: what does it feel like if we have 1 week to live? As Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, he might be thinking to himself as he sees the crowd gathered and lined up, as he sees the hype and the hysteria and the happiness and the hope that is swirling around him, in the back of his mind, as he sees the faces, he must be thinking, they're happy now, they're joyful and hopeful now, but what he sees are hypocrites, because he knows what will happen next. The crowds don't know what's going to happen, although he sees it. Now, Jesus has been telling them all along that the Son of Man will be delivered unto death. Sinners will kill him. But like all of us, we know that our loved ones are going to die at some time, someday, and that we will die someday. But we don't want to think about it. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to face it. We don't want to imagine. We don't want to admit. So we ask the question, what are we feeling and what is Jesus feeling? But what are we feeling if we ask that question? To know that, hey, maybe in a week or in the twinkling of an eye, we could be taken. What are we feeling? We're not feeling anything. We're numb. We ignore the conversation. And so Jesus sees this in the faces of all the people that are cheering and shouting, knowing that they will change their tune. And so how Jesus feels, he must feel sad. He must feel sorrow. Now the crowds, what they are seeing and feeling is that this is a great opportunity. This is a great possibility, because Jesus could rise up right now. Here's the king riding into Jerusalem. He could turn the tables on Rome, and he could take power, and their fortunes could change for the better. But how does Jesus feel knowing that that is not what's going to happen? He won't turn his wrath on Rome. He is not going to gather the weapons. He's not going to take up arms. He is not going to conquer Rome. They're feeling one way. Jesus is feeling a different way. He must feel very lonely because he knows, but they don't know. He knows that they're in this frenzy, and it's a phase, it's a fad, and they're going to fizzle. So the city's in great turmoil and cosmic shaking, and Jesus is going through his own separate crisis on a whole different level. Because for Jesus, he sees that it's the beginning of the end. He sees that the unfolding will lead to the cross. Today, we move from the palms of the procession to the passion, knowing that Jesus will go from the praise and the madness to sadness and that crisis within. How do we feel? How does Jesus feel about this? Now, not only does he know that they will leave, but he also knows that the same people who are cheering him on, the same people who are shouting his praises, are the same people that are going to say later, crucify him. We want Barabbas. The disciples who are proudly marching at his side as he enters into Jerusalem end up slipping away, end up saying, "We don't know him," then disappearing into the darkness. So on Friday, when we take our place and we're among the crowds shouting, "Jesus be crucified," what are we feeling as we are experiencing that crisis within our own selves? And it's awkward, it's painful. Will we know what we're going to say? Are we going to say, yeah, I know him, I have faith in him? Or are we just going to be kind of silently watching? Now, it's hard to see someone suffer. It's hard to see someone go through pain. We can't look at someone who's going through a lot of pain. We can look a little while. We can stay for a little while, but eventually we need to turn away. Eventually we will go away. What is Jesus feeling then, knowing this? He feels alone. He feels by himself. And he feels like he is going to be abandoned. He is going to be rejected. He is going to be despised. Palm Sunday is our opportunity to immerse ourselves in what is going to happen throughout the week and the event. In a way, Palm Sunday is this false, fleeting joy that is centered around a misguided expectation of power in politics. We think, well, Jesus, here's the king. He's going to take over. But it's also a story about us seeing the pain of Jesus, the suffering, and how weak we are because we're not going to be there to support and be present. We have the opportunity to walk with Jesus this week in real time as we remember and as we look at the sands of the hourglass starting to slip down that tube. To know that he has less than a week to live. Now let's review what happens during the week. On Monday, he is having his last meal with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Remember Lazarus, the one who died, and Jesus was not there to say goodbye. Stayed away. But this time you turn it around saying that, well, Jesus is the one who is about to die. And he doesn't stay away. But how does Jesus feel being with them? Well, he is with them and with Lazarus, and he might be thinking, Lazarus already died and came back. Here is Lazarus who is laughing and talking and eating. And maybe Jesus wants to see Lazarus because he feels like maybe I can get some encouragement seeing him. So he is feeling fellowship, even though he knows that the end is coming. Maybe he gets a little bit stronger and has more courage. So at dinner, Mary anoints his feet, and Judas says, well, why are you wasting that? You could be using it for the poor. And we know that Jesus is already thinking about his death. He says, leave her alone because she has prepared that for my burial. So he already has death on his mind. On Tuesday, he is in the described in the Gospel of John. He says, my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. What is Jesus feeling? He's feeling conflicted within. He's saying, Father, if this cup of suffering can pass, can it be? But I know it's thy will. So part of him says, there is this mission that God is calling me to do, but yet I kind of don't want to do it. So he's feeling this tug of war inside of him, and he's feeling conflicted, saying, I wish I didn't have to do this, but God is calling me to do this, and I have to do it. On Wednesday, the crisis ramps up even more. For the first time, Jesus is talking not about death, but about betrayal. He says during the supper, "Truly I tell you that one will betray me." Now, betrayal really hurts because those who betray us are those people who know us and those people who love us. A stranger cannot betray us because they don't know us. Someone who hates us or someone who doesn't like us or never did like us doesn't really know us. And so it can't be betrayal. Those who betray us are those who are close to us. And the only thing worse than being betrayed is being the betrayer. Words cannot describe the deep dagger of betrayal. And what is Jesus feeling when he's ready to die? He is feeling betrayed. Because he wasn't going to die because of natural causes. He wasn't going to die because of sickness. But he was going to die because of human sinfulness and injustice, the violence. By Friday morning, what is happening? It is chaos. It is out of control. How would you feel if you know that you are dying today? Out of control. Confusion, stumbling, staggering along with the crowds as they're going to Golgotha. And the crowds don't want to be recognized. They want to be anonymous. And they're numb as they witness the nailing to the cross. And as the minutes pass, surely some of the disciples must be thinking, any moment now, Jesus is going to save himself. After all, he healed the leper. After all, he walked on water. After all, he fed 5,000. So any moment now, he is going to remove himself from that cross and call upon heaven and call upon the angels and smite those who persecuted him. But it doesn't happen, and Jesus dies and bleeds to death. And he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment, the curtain of the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. At that moment, souls are torn in two. At that moment, God the Father and the incarnate Christ is torn apart. That moment, the disciples' hopes that maybe Rome will be defeated and Jesus' rule on earth is torn in two. How does Jesus feel? He feels torn in two. He feels heartbroken. The world feels heartbroken. We feel heartbroken. If we walk with Jesus this week, if we experience the events of Holy Week, we will be heartbroken. We will be devastated. We will feel destroyed. But Jesus' life and our emotional equilibrium is not the only thing that will be destroyed on Good Friday, but the barrier between God and human beings that will be torn open. Our sinfulness, the record of our sins, will be torn apart. And the reign of death is going to be torn in two. The good news is, on Sunday, our shroud of grief and fear shall be torn by the joy of the resurrection. And for us, the temptation is not to go from Palm Sunday straight to Easter, but to experience everything in between. Not to avoid the darkness, not to avoid the stains of the coming days, but to enter in it with Jesus, to be in solidarity with Jesus, to stand by Jesus. That we can experience the full healing of the resurrection, which is twice as great and twice as deep. So today we make a choice. We choose to be present with Jesus as his followers throughout the week. And we come face to face with the ways that we betray Jesus or we betray others. And we be with him as we struggle with him for the courage to endure the death that he goes through. And we could either hide, we could either deny, we could either avoid, or we could either run. Or we could go through it so that our fear and our sin and our grief has 1 week to live. And then it will be over. Our choice is to say yes. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I do know him. Yes, I do have faith in him. How does it play out? When we see someone hurting this week, to spend some time with that person. When we see someone incredibly lonely this week, to spend time with that person. To see someone who's rejected or abandoned or despised, to spend a lot of time with that person as if we're spending time with Jesus, not to shy away. And when we get through the week, when we get past that, we will truly and ultimately be changed and be transformed. Let's go through it together and let's gather the strength, and we will be victorious through Christ Jesus. Amen.